Senator Olsen. Rush line bus commuter appropriation.
Mr. Chair, members, we're here today on the rush line, and I've got the honor of having Commissioner Victoria Reinhart from Ramsey County here to discuss this bill, and I'll turn it over to her.
Commissioner, thanks for coming today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am chair of the Rush Line Corridor Task Force, which is a corridor that runs from St. Paul up to Hinckley. It consists of 5 counties and 19 cities. And last year, the Rush Line Corridor Task Force undertook a study of commuter bus feasibility in this fast-growing corridor. I think everyone sitting around the table here probably knows that the traffic is really growing on 35E and Highway 61 as development spreads north from the St. Paul-Minneapolis metropolitan area, and that there are many spots along this corridor that already have considered traffic choke points. What we did when we did the bus study was we tried to look at what made the most sense as far as trying to get the maximum number of people used to transit and what type of transit service would they use. And it was determined in the study that the commuter bus service made the most sense, that there was a strong transit market to both downtown St. Paul and to downtown Minneapolis. And, in fact, I believe that the Metro Transit and the funding that they received for the bus service from Forest Lake to Minneapolis as a result of the bridge collapse used this corridor study as a basis for how many people they expected to go into Minneapolis. There are 400 commuters that would use the commuter bus daily to and from St. Paul. From a cost and ridership standpoint, the task force decided that it made the most sense to begin the commuter coach bus service between the North Branch area coming into then Forest Lake, into the White Bear Lake area, and finally at the Union Depot in downtown St. Paul. The task force is asking the state legislature for $700,475 in this funding cycle in 2008 to pay the operating and capital expenses for a portion of 2008, and it would cover all of 2009. We really believe that this new service between North Branch and St. Paul will be successful and will help to build the market for future transit improvements in the corridor, including rail in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Questions from the committee?
No, he just took mine. He took mine.
And Senator Olsen would move that Senate File 3097 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Finance. And Senator Olsen, since this is a general fund obligation, all I can say to you and the commissioners, good luck. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Latz. Senator Latz, you have two bills on the agenda here. Which one are you going to take first? 2502,
I hope.
Okay. Senator Latz, Senate File 2502.
Mr. Chairman, we were in front of your committee before on this matter. You'd suggested some language relating to an off-ramp provision for the Commissioner of Transportation, in the event of any unforeseen situations, to be able to adjust their priorities for funding. And you have before you the A1 amendment I'd ask to be added to it that addresses that. It was drafted in consultation with council. It also puts some comfort language in there for the Department of Transportation. And rather than requiring them to prioritize, it says that they should give serious consideration to prioritizing the funding for the trunk highway projects that are prioritized by the Transportation Advisory Board process. Since they have told us that's basically what they do now, I would expect that there shouldn't be any further difficulties, but you still have to speak for themselves on that question.
All right. Senator Scoy moves the A1 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail.
Mr. Chairman, there is one other provision not contained specifically in the A1 amendment, and that is the department has asked that this entire bill be effective for the 2009 project solicitation schedule so that it wouldn't take effect during the 08 process. And we have no problem with that. I don't have specific language to accomplish that for you, but that would, I'd ask to have some language added.
All right. Senator Dibble moves on line 2.19 to direct counsel to make that effective date 1 January of 2009. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion does prevail. Aye. Senator Latt, since we are in a little bit of a hurry here, I'm just going to ask the department if their requests in this bill have been met. If Ms. Parker is here, someone on behalf of the department. Senator Latz, I did speak with Ms. Parker earlier, and she thought that these were definite improvements.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Pat Bursaw with MnDOT Metro District. And, yes, we have worked with the staff from the city and with the senator staff, and I think our comfort level has increased. Our needs have been met, and we look forward to working together to clarify our process.
Right. I was looking at a document today that I got from NCSL, and it showed several different plans of what different states are doing in regards to performance measures. And Minnesota was one of the states that was met. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just looking at the flow and reading the verbiage that went along with it, I think this fits right in line with what we've been trying to accomplish here. So... Senator,
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Latz,
we'd ask you to consider including this in your omnibus bill, and it does not need to track as a separate bill. The House has it in their omnibus bill, and that should be sufficient.
Okay, Senator Latz, we'll our omnibus bill has left our committee. It's in finance now, but we can make that we can make this part of the bill in finance committee or on the floor. So. Senator Scoy moves that Senate File 2502 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Finance Committee. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you, Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If you want to take your next bill, 3189.
Yes, please. Mr. Chairman, with this bill I come bearing gifts. This is a budget enhancement. It should bring an additional $51,000 in revenue in the form of fees for individuals whose licenses were revoked and need to be reinstated. This is, as you may recall, a technical fix at some point in the past when the list was put together of those who whose licenses were revoked and needed reinstatement. Those who juveniles who were revoked for violating laws relating to possession or sale of controlled substances in motor vehicles were not required to pay a reinstatement fee when they got their license back. This corrects that oversight. Waiting for the fiscal note last time we were before you, and so we're back to that.
All right. Is there further discussion? And I take it the department is comfortable with this bill as well. And Senator Latz, just so you know, same thing, when this goes to finance, we can make them all part of the omnibus bill. All right. Senator Jungbauer moves that Senate File 3189 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Too late now.
All right, Senator Dibble, let's take Senate File 2538.
Mr. Chair, Senate File 2539 is the bill that we heard in policy a few days ago, and this would allow seniors to be issued a Minnesota identification card for the purpose of riding Metro Transit at the senior discount rate and avoid having to the alternative they have is to carry their Medicare card, which they already have, which doesn't cost them anything. Otherwise, they have to, and the issue with that is carrying around their Social Security number. They would like to be able to carry around the Minnesota identification card, which allows them the same Metro Transit senior discount, but would allow them to avoid carrying around their Social Security number. Has a fiscal cost, and I know that the department has some issues to raise, and we have folks here to testify, Doug Davis and Mr. Rosensteel.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Doug Davis. I'm a lifetime resident of Northeast Minneapolis and of the state of Minnesota. For 20 years since I retired from teaching, I've been lobbying at the state legislature either for Senior Federation or AARP for improvements in public transit. So thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for doing a good job this year adding more money to public transit. Thank you very much. I'm testifying today in support of Senate File 2539. This bill authorizes the state to issue an identity card for senior citizens. The problem it attempts to deal with is identity theft. We're all aware that there seems to be a stepped-up effort to defraud senior citizens. They must think we're more gullible than the rest of the population. What these thieves need from us is critical information, Social Security numbers, bank account numbers, credit card numbers. All or almost all of us now are smart enough to know that we're not supposed to reveal our Social Security number, and so we don't carry it with us anymore. But senior citizens are extensive users of public transit, and when I sold my home in Northeast Minneapolis, I was foresighted enough to get an apartment on the Bryant and Johnson's line. Ever since as a kid, I've been riding that streetcar and then on the bus, and I knew there would come a time when I would presumably would have to rely on that line. We, the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee of Minneapolis, did a survey a few years ago, and we found that one out of every senior citizens in Minneapolis did not or could not drive. They depended on the Metro buses for the mobility. But when we want to take advantage of the reduced rate on bus fares, we are expected to carry our Medicare card, and that shows our Social Security number. So Senate File 2539 would allow us to use a state-issued card, which would identify us as a senior citizen and allow us to board the bus without having to use our Medicare card and run the risk of revealing our Social Security number. I urge your support for Senate File 2539, and thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you, Mr. Davis, and all the work that you've done up here for about at least the last 16 years I've been here.
Good afternoon. My name is Charles Rosensteel, Mr. Chairman, committee. I'm on the mayor's advisory committee to the mayor and the city council, and I'm also a member of the Stevens Square Safety Committee, which has representation from the police department, the city attorney, and the county attorney's office. All of them recommended we never carry our Social Security number with us because of theft. I brought with me today, this is a bus schedule from one of the MTC buses. Many of the senior citizens in our area use this discount, which is non-rush hour. In other words, between 9 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're able to get this discount. But in order to get this discount, it says right at back on the bottom, on the back of the card here, Medicare card holders to qualify, show Medicare card along with photo ID. And that's the problem. The Medicare card is our Social Security number. And we've had a number of senior citizens that did lose their purse downtown, and they did have somebody try to get into their accounts of that with their Social Security number. So this card would be a great help for us to avoid any theft. I thank you for the time.
Thank you. Mr. Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to support this, but I understand that we can make laws here, and it seems to me that we should be making a law that they don't use their Social Security card. I mean, when I first heard this the other day, I was surprised. I think you guys have a very valid point, but why in the heck is that policy continuing? We should stop that policy or tell whoever's enacted that policy to stop it, because it seems to me that they have a very good point that, you know, their Social Security number is right out there, and we should do something about that, too.
Well,
Mr. Lamb, it's been a while since we've talked with you. Why don't you come on up to the table? I'd like to get a better understanding of what Senator Olsen's talking about.
I think
Senator Dibble.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, the issue is a federal issue. The Medicare cards are issued by the federal government,
oh,
so
okay.
I don't know that we have the ability to...
Well, I think that's probably what Mr. Lamb was going to tell us, so...
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, committee members. I wasn't prepared to speak on this particular issue. I think there are some good suggestions here. One of the things I will remind the committee, though, when you are 65 and you do renew either your driver's license or your ID card, state ID card, there is an opportunity to get a T logo embossed right on the card itself. And that, the combination of the T logo with the picture ID, it will suffice as the identification necessary to get the senior reduced fare. The issue of just having a photo ID and then needing that secondary one is really one of, for the operator themselves as they're, you know, people boarding the bus and actually having to take a close look and do the math in their head. So it's a convenience in terms of speed of boarding issue why that second form of identification is used and required.
Okay. Further discussion on Senate File 2539.
Mr. Chair, I think the agency has some issues to bring forward. They are, have an issue with the tails and
right.
also private issuers of
yes.
IDs.
Ms. McCormick.
I hadn't dealt with yet, so I'm glad they're coming forward.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, Pat McCormick with Driver and Vehicle Services. We certainly appreciate the goal of this legislation and appreciate Senator Dibble addressing the fiscal needs for the next fiscal year, but there would be additional funding that would be needed continuing from there on in. And we think it would be around $167,000 per year. And the other concern we have is that there is no filing fee that would be allowed in the bill for private driver license agents, only for city and county driver license agents. And as you know, we have 125 throughout the state, and several are private agents. And so we would request that if this bill moved forward, those issues would be addressed.
Senator Dibble, this bill has to go to the full finance committee next. Maybe you can work with Ms. McCormick and see if we can't cut the tails down a tad.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I will do that. I think I also have to probably work with Senator Cohen and find some money. So
yeah, that's
if we're going to succeed at this, yeah, there's that small detail. So.
Senator Dade.
I hate to even weigh in, but I have to. we're losing, or we have to subsidize to the tune of $17 million a year, or how many million we're behind, $30 million the other day. And yet, we have enough money that we have to give discounts for seniors to ride. And I guess the only thing that bothers me about it is that my seniors that are down in my area, they just got hit with a nice tax increase in gas taxes and license tabs and everything else that these good gentlemen help push. They thinking it's fine to have my seniors pay a lot more money so they come here so they can ride at a cheaper rate. I don't get it. I mean, I don't know why you guys don't ride just exactly like what everybody else pays on the bus. Because I personally believe there's a lot of families with 3-4 kids. There's a lot of people that have a lot of problems. And it's not just seniors. We've got a lot of problems out here. So I wouldn't mind it if everything was hunky-dory in the state and this mass transit plan that we have that everybody tells me is so profitable and is busting its seams by people jumping on the light rail and everything else. So I don't know. I know everything is going to go fine and whatever, but I talked to these gentlemen before and I just felt that I give my opinion. Let's get on with it.
Further discussion. Senator Dibble moves that Senate File 2539 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does prevail. Thank you. Senator Dahl, you have Senate File 3080.
Chair, Senate File 3080 was heard and passed the transportation policy portion of this committee a week or two ago, and now we're hearing again for the budget implications, if there are any. I know that maybe some fiscal implications, but we don't know what they are. They're very minimal. If they are, maybe Ms. McCormick can explain what fiscal implications there might be. What this is regarding a 60-day license plate permit. When folks are getting a special license plate, generally takes longer to get that than the normal paper permit that we issue. And we'd like a 60-day paper permit to allow time so that we don't have to issue a regular plate in lieu of that permit and then the costs associated with that.
Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Pat McCormick from DVS, there are no fiscal costs to this proposal. This would be just an administrative process. It's just a piece of paper that would go in the back window until the special plate is ready. This really, it saves money, but we wouldn't be able to quantify that until we would see the use of it in terms of special plate use.
All right. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Dahl moves Senate File 3080 be recommended pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Senator Dahl, you might want to have a discussion with this bill with Senator Cohen, since what I just heard that there was no fiscal impact. He could just move it along.
Yeah, I'll do that, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
All right. On the Dahl motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion does prevail. Senator Olsen, Senate File 3535. Senator Olsen, you and Captain Urquhart were supposed to come back to the committee and tell us what number to put in on page 2, line 25.
Mr. Chair, I knew I was supposed to do something. I couldn't remember what it was. No, the fiscal note, there is going to be an ongoing cost to the proposal of four troopers and three additional inspectors of $605,961 a year. And then, Mr. Chair, there would be an initial cost of $404,361, and that would be for purchasing uniforms, three Silverado pickups, four squads for the state troopers, and some personal equipment and radios and those kinds of things. That would be a one-time cost. So the total of the two is $1,010,322.
And members, just so everybody's aware of this, this money comes out of the Trunk Highway Fund. So if we say that this is okay, it goes to Senator Cohen's committee, and they basically rubber stamp it.
Mr. Chair?
So just a second here. The policy committee already, you know, we've already heard this bill. We said it's the right direction. We're supposed to be doing this, and we can do a better job and help the captain out here by providing some extra troopers and the material. So, Senator Olsen?
Mr. Chair, I think Captain Urquhart's kind of got it nailed down more specifically on what the officer might be and those kinds of things, if you want him to address that.
Captain.
Mr. Chairman, members, all the troopers assigned in the district that I command come through a selection process from existing troopers. So when if these positions were open and they were funded, then we would select from existing troopers, and subsequently those positions would be replaced by the funding that exists. And that's the selection process. That does take us a bit of period of time, a couple of months to post those, and then interested troopers would submit their requests to be selected for those positions. Mm-hmm. The actual director of pupil transportation would be a position would be assigned primarily to a lieutenant, and that would be their sole responsibility to serve in that position and then supervise and direct the personnel that are involved in the entire school bus safety program. So it would be that unit would be concentrated on just school bus safety and all the elements that are contained thereof.
Mm-hmm. And Senator Olsen, was this your initiative or was this a department's initiative?
Mr. Chair, members, it came out of the subcommittee that Senator Wieger had, Senator Hand and I working on school bus safety, and it also addresses concerns from the Legislative Auditor's Office.
All right. Further discussion, Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I missed that the dollar amount. Could you repeat the dollar amount that you're looking for appropriations on?
I certainly can. Mr. Chair, Senator Dahl. For the ongoing cost, it'd be $605,961. And then for a one-time cost, would be $404,361. So the total of the two is $1,010,322.
And, Mr. Chair, and Senator Olsen, that $605,961, whatever, that's each year then it would be appropriated after the initial that $1 million.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dahl, that's correct. There's already existing 12 inspectors now, so we did not figure those folks in. They're currently budgeted in. This would be three additional compliance inspectors and three troopers that would be probably a technical sergeant level, and then one director who would be a lieutenant, as the captain said. So it would be four state troopers. So those seven positions would be additional ongoing positions.
Thank you.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olsen, I didn't see any reference in here to advice concerning seat belts. And I know that the studies have been changing. They've been evolving about whether we should be having seat belts in school buses. And I'm wondering, why isn't that included if we're going to talk about the Office of Pupil Transportation Safety? Why not seat belts?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, Captain Urquhart has explained this very well, and I hope I can convey this as well as he first told me, because I was asking him about rules, and part of their obligation is to impose rules, and rules might be adding a second stop arm on a bus, where buses now have one stop arm. They might establish a rule that buses have to have two stop arms, and they don't have to do that legislatively, like the cross arm gates on the bumper. That's a rule. That's not established legislatively, is my understanding. So to me, that would be probably within the preview of this director of pupils. Let's see if I get his title right. It's the pupil transportation safety director. That would probably be within the preview of his role in that position.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olsen, so this director of the Office of Pupil Transportation Safety can regulate these bus companies without coming back for further legislative authority?
Captain Urquhart.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, within statute today, the Pupil Transportation Safety Director can entertain variances in the school bus standards for a period of 18 months to examine new technology. For instance, the dual stop arm concept, the cross arm in front of the bus that prevents child from being run over, strobe lights. There's been a number of them. Crash avoidant lights in the rear bumper, those kinds of things to help reduce crashes, and then evaluate those things and bring recommendations to the legislature to change the law to improve school bus safety. Somewhat linked to your question about seat belts, present in statute today, if seat belts exist on the school bus and children are sitting in those seats or passengers are in their seats, they are required to wear those. There are some safety restraint systems on some buses, but they're not required to be on all the buses as of yet.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. With respect to the regulation issue, what you're saying is that the director now has, but this office will in the future, if it's created, have the authority to grant. It did have the authority to grant variances, but now it will have additional authority to mandate practices, safe practices across the state?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, it's my understanding that the office will continue, as it's clarified in state law, to allow the variance and then study that and then make recommendation to the legislature for any law changes. I don't think that there's authority here to make regulation changes without bringing issues here to this body.
Mr. Chair, and perhaps Senate counsel can help us. I want to make sure we're all clear that this Office of Pupil Transportation Safety can grant variances but will not be able to issue mandates to all of the companies. Is that a fair reading of the statute, counsel?
Mr. Chair and Senator Ortman, that would be my understanding.
Senator Ortman, anything else?
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you. I don't think we need an office. We already have a director who can do the very thing that we're saying we need an Office of Pupil Transportation Safety to do. We just need more people to do it, and I guess I don't agree with that.
Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair and Senator Ortman, let me give you a little background here, and the captain can correct me or jump in anytime he wants. Right now, the state laws mandate that we have a pupil transportation safety director, and so Captain Urquhart is serving in that position. Captain Urquhart is also in charge of commercial enforcement, so he's wearing two hats. So one of the things that brought about this bill is that the captain does a great job on both the commercial and the school bus. However, I feel that because of a number of incidences involving school buses and the legislative auditor's report, that we need to take this to another level. This office with the four state troopers would answer to the captain who's in charge of commercial enforcement. So it's kind of a sub-office, so it's creating an office under, you know, I don't know when Captain Urquhart's retiring, but even if he's not in that position, it would answer to that captain who's in charge of commercial enforcement. But it would be an autonomous office to the extent of carrying out the school bus inspections. So I think it's very appropriate to have this separate office that really just concentrates on school bus safety, because I think he's very highly skilled. I've seen him in action, but I think it's asking too much to be in charge of commercial and school bus safety.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, this would be over and above the new allocation of the troopers that we just paid for in the gas tax increases?
Captain Urquhart, that's my understanding that we just authorized a group of new troopers. Now, is this complement of four coming from that group of 40 troopers, or are we talking four more on top of that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I would believe that if you're going to commit to this funding that Senator Olsen, at least in my eyes, that he's described, that would be additional.
Mm-hmm. That's my understanding. Senator Ortman?
Mr. Chair, I would think that if it were a great priority of the state troopers, that they could allocate these positions from within the new funds that they just received. And so I, for one, will not be supportive. I think they do a fine job. If they need additional people, they should work within the additional resources we've just given them.
Okay. Further discussion? Senator Olsen. There's no amendment to this bill. Oh, okay. Senator Olsen moves on line 2.25 to insert $1,011,000.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Day.
I got a quick question. First off, I got all the admiration in the world for the Highway Patrol. But why wouldn't we hire, like, auto mechanics? In other words, if somebody's going to crawl underneath the bus, look at all the different things and do all the things that you need to done. And I'm sure, I was just wondering, and maybe that's already in here. I don't know, but I was just.
Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, Senator Day, it's a good question. What we're looking at right now, there are 12 inspectors in the state of Minnesota, and they're not sworn officers. They are commercial vehicles inspectors, and they have to look at 14,000 vehicles for the required annual inspection. And that's kind of the whole crux of this bill, is that by adding three more compliance officers and the four troopers, we're hoping, because right now the 12 inspectors are looking at the physical bus, but there's not time for them to look at the driver's records of the drivers and go back, make sure background checks are being done as prescribed by law. So these are not troopers that will be doing that kind of work. The troopers will be doing, they can pull a bus over on the side of the road, but a compliance officer can't. So as this office has been talked about being developed, there would be the lieutenant level who would be the director of the office. Then there would be three regional troopers that would probably be metro and a southern Minnesota and a northern Minnesota. And their job would primarily be probably working with the inspectors, but also doing random pullovers and make sure that, probably with no students on the bus, but making sure that the driver is also in compliance. So the trooper, and they'll also be working on safety issues with students and those kinds of things. So the role of the troopers is different than the role of the inspectors. Is that correct, Captain?
Yes.
On the Olsen motion for the appropriation, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion does prevail. Senator Olsen then moves that Senate File 3535, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does prevail. All right, next up we have Senate File 2077. This is a Tomasoni bill, and most of these plate bills, we're just going to, there's two of them that we have amendments for, and then we're just going to send them to Finance Committee. So we do have an amendment for Senate File 2077. And while that's being passed out, that amendment is boilerplate language that also inserts, this is the underlying bill is for a Bronze Star plate, and the amendment is for a Silver Star plate. I think if we're going to do bronze, we better do the medal of higher ranking, which is the silver as well. Senator Carlson moves the A1 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Carlson moves Senate File 2077 be recommended, pass, and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Members, these plate bills that we're doing, we've already heard them before, and the amendments that are going on are just boilerplate to make sure that they match up with the rest of the bills that we do. Next up is Senator Carlson. You have Senate File 2337. Senator Carlson, I didn't mean to make you walk all around, all the way around over there, because this is the same thing. We're just going to move this bill along as well.
Okay. Mr. Chair, this is 2337. We've heard this before in the policy division.
Mm-hmm. And this is just the veterans plates for motorcycles, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Senator Carlson moves 2337 be recommended, pass, and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. We have Senator Rest Bill, Senate File 2365, and there, I believe, is an amendment for that. And Senator Rest, while we're passing out the amendment, can you tell us what that does?
2365 is the sesquicentennial license plates, and there was a request to for the department to be able to issue novelty plates as well. And so that's what this amendment accomplishes in the bill.
On the A2 amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. If I remember right, Ms. McCormick, your office didn't have any problems with the sesquicentennial plate. Is that...
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Pat McCormick from DVS. Yes, we worked with Senator Reston. We let her know the time constraints we have in terms of production and, mm-hmm. and those kinds of things. So I think we've worked through those issues with Senator Rest.
Okay, great. Great. And Senator Rest would move that Senate File 2365 as amended, be recommended, pass, and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Next we have Senator Michelle's bill, Senate File 3069. Senator Koch moves Senate File 3069 be recommended, pass, and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion no. does prevail. Next we have Senate File 3191, Senator Cohn's bill. This is the American Red Cross bill, and Senator Saltzman would move that Senate File 3191 be recommended, pass, and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Further discussion? Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I won't drag this out, but as we're having this discussion, I think, you know, every year we just grow the number of new special plates we have, and I hope that the committee really thinks about what the purpose of the license plate was for in the first place, and that's identification for law enforcement. And, I mean, it's turned into a place for memberships and advertisements and some really worthy causes and things that people have accomplished in their lives. But it seems to me that this is just going to grow on and on and on, and we've sort of lost a sense of why we have a license plate on a car. And I know that we've had some designs that have actually created some problems for law enforcement. And the principal reason for these is so that law enforcement can identify a car as unique. And Mr. Chair, I don't know if these are going to go in the omnibus bill, but I do think that as someone who learned a lot about this from Representative Leader, it would be great if this discussion was at least had in the omnibus or in the policy bill, because I know that he has strong feelings about this as well. That we're just we've lost a sense of why we have license plates.
Thank you, Senator Larson. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then Senator Saltzman renews her motion that 3191 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does prevail. Senator Rest, we have Senate File 3058. And Senator Rest.
Rumor has.
The UPA bill, that's Mr. Chairman?
Yes, it is, Senator.
I think I have any additional amendments from the department.
Senator Ress, this is another bill that we've heard several times. If you just want to make the motion to send it back to finance, that's fine.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate File 3058 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Finance.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Let's see. We've already done Senator Olson's. Senator Dahl, we have Senate File 3462, and we will have to take some testimony on this.
Included in the governor's rec, so I can show you that we're just going to lose $4,000 a year in special revenue.
Senator Dahl, it's my understanding that the fiscal note says that we're going to lose about $4,000 a year if we do this. Is that about right, Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair, yes, that's correct.
Okay. Senator Dahl, you want to explain what this repealer does?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members. This repealer is on a surcharge, $5 surcharge imposed on veterans' plates who qualify or have obtained certain special veterans' license plates. The surcharge was to be temporary. However, no sunset date was included in the original legislation, thus requiring DVS to continue to collect the surcharge, even though all costs associated with the surcharge have been satisfied. So we want to repeal that $5 surcharge imposed on veterans who qualify or request Iraq War veteran, Afghanistan War veteran, or Global War on Terrorism special license plates.
Ms. McCormick, do you have anything else to add?
Mr. Chair, no. I think this is just because we've already paid for our costs, so we don't like to charge our customers more than what our costs are associated with the service or product we're providing. Mm-hmm.
Further discussion? Senator Olson? Senator Dahl would move that Senate File 3462 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you, Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, I was just wanting to be sure that you didn't think I was giving you the look.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't like getting the look again. So, Senator Jungbauer, Senate File 3686, and this is actually the governor's recommendation. And we're going to hear from Mr. Foster and maybe Mr. Gray, I believe, if they're here. And members, we're going to be fairly brief here, but Mr. Foster, maybe you can help us understand a few of the basically what's going to happen.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Norman Foster from the Department of Finance. I'm going to walk you through the Governor's Supplemental Transportation Bill. I'll go in the order that the bill is.
Okay.
There are two changes recommended for the Department of Transportation. The first is a reduction in the appropriation for Greater Minnesota Transit. The reduction is $2,452,000 for fiscal year 09. The base would be reduced by $752,000 in fiscal year 10 and 11. On the state road side, Congress passed an additional bridge program recently. This has nothing to do with the 35W collapse. MnDOT is expecting to get $6.8 million additional funds for bridge work statewide, and this would represent an increase in the state road construction appropriation to reflect that additional revenue. For the Metropolitan Council, the governor is recommending a reduction of $29,931,000 from the 09 appropriation. The base would be reduced in fiscal year 10-11 by $3,151,000. For public safety, there are a few items, some of which you've already dealt with in separate bills. In the Administration and Related Services Division, the second year appropriation that you made last year for a security coordinator for the Republican National Convention of $28,000 is proposed to be reduced. In the Driver and Vehicle Services, and again, I think this committee has heard about this project before, to replace the DVS computer systems, the governor is recommending $12 million be appropriated each year for the next 4 years from the Trunk Highway Fund for that system rebuild. Section 6, I believe you just dealt with in a separate bill, which is a change in the definition of who has to pay a reinstatement fee. And Section 7 is the item you just dealt with, I think, to do with the military and veterans surcharge. So that is the Governor's Supplemental Transportation Bill. And all the agencies affected, I think, are in the room and have presentations or can answer questions on the particular items.
Senator Jungbauer.
Mr. Chair, it's always, as a person that loves transportation, it would be hard for me to argue in favor of any reductions, so I think I'll let departments answer their own questions.
Okay, Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the driver vehicle services, so that's taking trunk highway funds? Is that my understanding?
Mm-hmm. That's correct, Senator Olsen.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair. I have grave concerns about that. We have our roads falling apart, and, you know, to take money till 2010 I understand the need for this system. I certainly do. But I do have concerns about pulling money out of the trunk highway fund that should be paving roads instead of license plates, so, mm-hmm. or licenses and those kinds of things. So.
Right. Senator Olsen, you make a good point. We've been trying to make the Division of Motor Vehicles a fee-based service. And I think that you've got a bill that is going to help us build a computer system without using gas tax money to do it. So, Foster, or maybe somebody from the Met Council, you know, I just kind of like to hear what these reductions mean to the Met Council, and then also to if there's anybody here from the department that works with Greater Minnesota Transit. Mr. Bell.
Mr. Chair, it's a pleasure to be here with you today. I believe there's some materials that are being handed out to you regarding the question you just posed, which was the impact that this would have on the Metropolitan Council. I will briefly attempt to address that question. For everyone to get a copy. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the first page gives an overview of the impact that this activity would have on the entire regional transportation system, including the suburban transit providers and metro mobility. We would have a $1 million deficit for the balance of this fiscal year and between a $28 and $40 million deficit for the 2009 fiscal year. Now, we have a range here based upon a whole host of possibilities. Those assumptions that I just mentioned, or those figures I just gave you, really are assuming that we would maintain our current bus and rail service. We would not increase fares or reduce service. The new commitments for the UPA, the Urban Partnership Agreement, and for North Star commuter rail startup costs, major changes in that have taken place in some of our sources of revenue, particularly three potential sources that have different impacts. Of course, the first being the MVEST projections. The second is the advent of the Joint Powers Board, and the third is the general fund reductions that were just spoken about. I think it perhaps would be useful, Mr. Chair, but I would work at your discretion, is to kind of give you a chronology of events that have taken place since the end of the 2000 session, go over the change in the MVEST forecast, look at other revenue and expense changes, provide some specifics on North Star and UPA, look at the impact of the transportation funding bill, and then the decline of MVEST forecast in February for both 08 and 09 and the governor's proposals. The third slide you have with you is really what happened, Mr. Chair, at the end of the 2007 session, from that point in time to December 2007. At that point, you will recall, Mr. Chair, that we were given a $20 million appropriation to deal with the deficit that we had at that point. As a result of that, at the end of the session last year, for all Metropolitan Transportation Services, our deficit was $100,000, and the projected deficit for fiscal year 09 was $7.7 million. Changes from May to December, one was in November, the MVEST forecast was actually up for fiscal year 2008, $1.1 million, but down $5 million for fiscal year 09. Other changes reflected in an increase of $500,000 in fiscal year 08 and a decrease of 4.3 in 09. And those other changes, Mr. Chair, I would list in three areas. Fuel cost increases of $3 million, health benefit increases of $4 million, and fare revenue increases from higher ridership. And when you put those three factors together, we projected an increase of $500,000 in fiscal year 08 and a decrease of 4.3 in fiscal year 09. And as you can see, as you follow the math, the total changes for 08 was an increase of $1.6 million, but our deficit was growing to $9.3 million total. And you can see what the sum of those all are at the bottom of page of the third slide. Mr. Chair, do you want me to go through all these materials or wait for questions in between?
Well, Mr. Bell, can you can you tell us what's going to happen if we have to cut approximately $30 million out of your budget?
if in fact $30 million, to cut to the chase, Mr. Chair, if we have to cut $30 million out of our budget, coupled with the MVEST shortfall that was projected in February of this year, in addition to that $30 million, and, of course, all of this is contingent upon what assistance we would get from the new Joint Powers Board that was formed. And if we will, and we're planning on approaching that Joint Powers Board for North Star startup costs, as well as for the operational costs of Hiawatha for the county and the Hennepin County and the operational costs of Hiawatha that we currently pay. It depends on how that works out. If those are not replaced and the Joint Powers Board is not receptive to those arrangements, Mr. Chair, we would have to increase fares across the board of approximately a dollar in all of our transit operations and cut service up to 10 to 15%. And, Mr. Chair, I would hasten to add, if, in fact, we were forced to do that, the prospects of the Central Corridor going forward would be significantly diminished. The feds simply will not fund new transit operations at the same time as you are cutting other parts of your system. So a worst-case scenario, the cuts go through, coupled with MVEST, a lack of receptivity on the part of the Joint Powers Board would reflect itself in an across-the-board increase of about a dollar and 10 to 15% reduction in service. That's the bottom line, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bell. And that dollar fare increase would make our fares the highest. Is that correct?
That would make them. I haven't seen a recent survey of comparable transit systems across the country, but I can say without fear of contradiction, it would be at the higher end. Yes, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, thanks, Mr. Bell. And
Mr.
any
Chair?
Good news?
Well, yeah, Mr. Chair, I think there is some. Purposely, I think that this committee needs to hear kind of that worst-case scenario. I am meeting regularly with the respective county boards and rail authorities. I have every reason to be hopeful that they will fund the UPA startup, which is allowed under the legislation that was just passed, and the operational costs of Hiawatha, both for Hennepin County and Hennepin County and the state. And we are looking at other possible things that they could fund out of that as well. And that would still allow, Mr. Chair, and this is an important point, significant resources to go for new transit lines.
Well, Mr. Bell, how fast, in your worst-case scenario, are you spending down your fund balance? I think you've got $20 million or so.
We have, Mr. Chair, that's correct. We have $20 million in our MVEST reserve, and it should be noted that we only budget at 95% of MVEST because, you know, it's we haven't been able to predict that well, and so we think prudence requires that we only budget at 95%. We would be open to, and as we look at various scenarios, taking some of that MVEST reserve and spending it for this. Because, of course, we are, one of the dynamics we face is that, as you know, Mr. Chair, we get an increasingly large share of a decreasing pie, so that our percentage of MVEST grows until it is fully phased in and we'll get 40%. But that pie has been shrinking. One slide, Mr. Chair, I have that illustrates this is on
page 8.
Yes, I'm looking at two different slides. You can see, Mr. Chair, in fiscal year 2002, statewide, MS was scheduled to provide $613 million. You can see in fiscal year 2009, MVEST is projected to provide $445 million. So we get an increasingly large share of a ever-decreasing pie. On page 9, that's the statewide figure. You can see in fiscal year 09, initially there was a projection of $161 million, and we're looking at $123. Perhaps what illustrates this the best is what's happened with MVEST is this point. In fiscal year 2003, we got 20.5% of MVEST. Mr. Chair, that was $124 million. In fiscal year 2009, we are scheduled to get 27.75% of MVEST, and that's essentially $124 million. So our percentage is growing from fiscal year 03 to fiscal year 09 by over 7%, and the dollar amount we will receive is flat.
Further questions, Senator Dahl?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bell, if you wouldn't mind maybe focusing a little bit on this UPA and how the the current budget of Metropolitan Council is going to affect. You mentioned as the you probably start through the startup operations, but looking into the next couple of years, as we start to develop this, what are the potential problems we're going to be looking at? Some things that you're starting to identify as you move forward on this.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dahl, the UPA, the startup, part of the startup costs for the UPA that we think we'll be able to fund, about $4 million, and it's in your materials, that we can take out of our regional bonding authority. It's just been approved at $32 million, and we would be able to take about $4 million out of that. For the operational costs of the UPA, we would be going the Joint Powers Board would be asked to fund we would go to them for reimbursement or for the cost of that.
Okay. And Mr. Chair and Mr. Bell, the line itself is going outside what is our traditional transit taxing district. It's going down into Lakeville. Now, is there some special provisions that we need to adjust to make sure that that's included? Metropolitan Council's take on this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dahl, when in fact the line gets developed, Lakeville will have to come into the transit taxing district.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions for Mr. Bell? Thanks, Mr. Bell.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate your time.
Not a problem. Is there somebody here from MnDOT that wants to talk about some transit issues, Greater Minnesota Transit, and the overall budget, Mr. Gray?
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Kevin Gray, Chief Financial Officer with MnDOT, and I just wanted to set the context for the governor's recommendation and then have Mr. Gottfried from our Office of Transit talk to the to the ramifications or how we would address and respond to that supplemental budget direction. Total request is for approximately just under $2.5 million in fiscal 09 and for $750,000 of a base reduction in future years. The $750,000 is consistent with the governor's requests of all the general fund agencies to identify up to 4% of funds, general fund monies, to address the budget challenge that faces the state, and we're supportive of that. And this would have some modest impact. We are fortunate with both the phase in of MVEST and in the future with the House File 2800, incorporation of additional sales tax revenues in the future, that I think that amount becomes rather small relative to that growth in future years. Our challenge is in the first year of 09, where a portion of our of the 1.7 million of the 2.45 was to maintain our program based on the fact that the timing of the phase-in of the lights-on bill for MVEST transit fund funding from last year differed that from that of the governor's recommendation. So we've got a one-year challenge to manage that situation, and I'll ask Mr. Godfrey to talk what the plans are and what the challenge is.
Mr. Godfrey, maybe you can help us with what's going to happen if we have to cut Greater Minnesota Transit by, what is it? Is it $2.5 million?
Just under $2.5 million, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and the committee, we're anticipating at this point in time it has an effect in calendar year 08 of roughly about 10,000 hours of service for calendar year 08. This is now. And also in a continuing legacy into calendar year 2009 of another 40,000-hour overall effect, roughly about a 50,000 hours loss of service. Our status quo service hours is about 980,000 hours, so we're anticipating a shift of about 10,000, as I said, for 2008, and another loss of about another 40,000 in 2009.
Mr. Godfrey, can we get your name for the record?
I'm sorry. I'm Tom Godfrey with the Office of Transit, MnDOT.
Thank you. So what you're saying is there will be service reductions?
There will be. Right now, the way the formula would work out in relative to the funding and the way the finances have to operate, yes, mm-hmm. there will be service cuts.
Okay. Is there anybody else that wants to testify on Senator Jungbauer's bill? Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, just so I understand exactly what I'm looking at, the deficits that we're seeing, is this a result strictly of the MVEST not meeting projections, or is this a result of the governor's using some of the new money to deal with the deficit?
Senator Bonoff, the cuts, I believe, that the governor has recommended were the cuts for this fiscal year. And the bill that we just passed has different dates for implementation of these different revenue streams that don't catch up and backfill the holes. And the holes at the Met Council and Greater Minnesota Transit will have to fill the short-term needs up through our finance committee. Most of the shortfall that you see coming from Met Council is because of those loss of revenues in the MVEST fund, but also in a direct cut. And I think that we just heard Mr. Gray say that they kind of went across the board and everybody had to do 4%. So that's kind of where the governor came up with his numbers.
Mr. Chair, thank you.
Senator Jungbauer, what do you want to do with your bill? You want to hold it here in committee for a little bit, and then we can kind of talk with Senator Cohen? And
Mr. Chair, I think that would be best to talk to Senator Cohen and see what we might be able to do.
I think that we could probably definitely help Greater Minnesota Transit. Okay, I did get a couple chuckles. All right. Then Senator Jungbauer moves to lay Senate File 3686 on the table. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion does prevail. Okay. Folks, the policy division.